Now, does minor hockey take it too far, Kevin, in terms of the scheduling of games? And is there a way to do that? Or do you sometimes have to take a look at a schedule like that and say, you know, we're going to have to make sacrifices at the personal level and the family level and maybe even the educational level?
Well, first of all, there's sacrifice. I've heard this years and years. You know, people, oh, we have to sacrifice to do this. Any time that you give up something, if you feel like you're sacrificing, you're not going in with the right attitude. Mm-hmm. What you got to be looking at saying, I'm going into this because I want to do this. If I'm going to play, we'll say, AAA hockey, and I know it's got a heavier schedule, then I'm going to make sure that, you know, my nutrition's going to be not affected. I'm going to make sure that my conditioning's not affected. I'm going to make sure my homework's not affected. My family life's not affected. And when decisions of a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old are made to play AAA hockey, it's a family decision. It's not just the one player. And sometimes what happens with families, they go, well, my son wants to play, so we're just going to do it. And I go, that's fine, but he doesn't understand what 6 months down the road of, you know, maybe not doing well in a certain course can do to him.
Well, Wayne, what happens when someone recommends to you, let's say there's a young kid who's, let's use the age 10 to 12 years old, mm-hmm. playing in minor hockey, was all enthusiastic at this time of year about playing, gets to November, December, becomes too much.
Right.
I mean, what can a parent and a coach do to kind of re-motivate or educate the kid? Or is it the best thing maybe to realize that it's not for them? What would you recommend?
I think, well, obviously, when kids are young, they, you know, there's a whole, I guess, decision-making process in terms of at what age do you specialize? At what age do you just decide he's going to be a hockey player? And I think one of the things that they have to do is we call it sampling in the research in sports psychology. Introduce them to a number of sports like lacrosse, like soccer, like baseball, like hockey, so that they aren't just saying, okay, I've got to go to hockey schools all summer as well as playing hockey all winter. So I think that, you know, giving them an introduction to a number of sports is important. But getting back specifically to your question, in terms of November, if the boy or the girl is losing some motivation, what you want to do is point out to them how they're getting better, and then it becomes the role of the coach to set some specific goals where they're working on their skills and they're working on various parts of their game to see that they are in fact getting better, and then coming back to the fun thing.
Kevin, you know, you've been involved in the game at a lot of levels over the years. Let me ask you this then. I talk about the preparation for the kids and the families involved in minor hockey. What about the preparation for the coaches and the administrators and the people that are really not controlling these young kids' lives for a majority of the winter, but responsible for a lot of it?
Oh, you know what? This is so important. One of the biggest things that we're taught as coaches that it's not just about the X's and O's. And it's Hockey Canada has done a great job in starting to develop more of a program of it's about preparing yourself as well and having a season plan. And when are you going to teach certain parts of the season? You know, I've heard a lot of people say, oh, development, development, development. And I go, okay, let's define it. And when you start defining it, and that's what it's the coach's job, right? He's going to say, okay, we're going to develop skill. Okay, great. So for the next couple of months, we're going to work on passing, skating, shooting. But on the psychology part, they not only have to prepare the players, they got to prepare themselves. How many times do you watch a coach walk in the room and he goes, okay, you guys got a big game, yeah, let's go. I mean, you can hear it in a voice. He goes, how are you going to pump up kids if you're not even pumped up? So you know what? Get yourself psychologically ready. You know, what are you going to say? How are you going to do it? How are you going to react?
Well, Wayne, I guess you can totally agree with that because, you know, there's two sides to this equation. It's the kids staying motivated, but what about the coach that's finding it pretty tough around November or December?
Yeah, well, and obviously, I mean, coaches have to do some time management, some planning, and I was reading a book recently which said it's not about managing time, it's about managing energy, because a lot of these coaches do have jobs during the day, and they got to make sure that you know, when they go to the rink at night, that their body language indicates that they want to be there, that they're enthusiastic, that they're excited, and that they're really passionate about what they're doing. And if there's two words that I could leave with coaches and with players, it would be work ethic and passion. I mean, those things too. I mean, and they go hand in hand. And it's interesting. Gordon Miller interviewed Wayne Gretzky last winter, and he asked him. He said, "What was the key to your success?" And he didn't mention anything about his passing, his shooting, his stick handling. He said, "Gord, there were three things that made me a great player." He said, "The first was work ethic. The second was consistency. The third was pride." You know, all mental things.
Well, and that's absolutely the case. And, you know, Kevin, I think that's the thing in terms of the physicality, because you see so many kids in minor hockey, and you'll see a group of, of 20 players on one team. You say, well, what's the one thing that's going to separate the super achievers from that? And it all comes down to how seriously and how dedicated and the habits they develop as a young man. Because I see a lot of kids in junior hockey who come in, maybe they're not good students, maybe they are a little lazy in practice, but those habits didn't start the minute they got drafted in the OHL. Those habits started when they were 10 years old.
Oh, absolutely. And what happens is they get encouraged. Right. So, and they get encouraged, and not in a negative way. But if I'm my son's 13 years old playing football, and hey, he had a great game. And what's my focus? My son. So I'm going to tell him, hey, you did a great job. Well, if the son or the daughter is taking that as, oh, I did the right thing, I'm just going to keep doing that. And maybe it was ignore all his teammates to be successful. And so all of a sudden now they get, you know, linked up to, well, my mom and dad said that was great, so I'm just going to keep following what they say, and it's great. They get to 15, 16, they think they're the superstar. What they don't realize is they got, you know, 19 other players to consider and to work with, and the attitude to carry in the dressing room.
Mm. Wayne, is there a particular psychological trait, do you think, that distinguishes the ultra-achievers in minor hockey or in any sport athletically? You mentioned the work ethic and the passion for that, but is that something you can develop, or does it come from within a person?
I think it comes from early experiences. A lot of it does come from within, but if there's one factor also, it's the drive and the determination. And if you look at a couple of role models we have here in Canada, say a Steve Yzerman and a Joe Sakic. I mean, those guys. I mean, what they bring every day. I mean, they bring unbelievable drive and determination. They bring the consistency, the work ethic, but they also bring some other things which I think our young players should be imitating, and that's a lot of modesty, a lot of humility, you know, a lot of mental toughness, playing through injuries, these kinds of things. So I think we're very fortunate to have the Sakics and the Yzermans, and even if you go into other sports, looking at Steve Nash and Mike Weir, and maybe another day we can talk about, like, those are great role models for our kids to have because they've risen to the top and they haven't changed as people.
Oh, no question. A lot of positive role models in the hockey game for sure.
Yeah.
Kevin, we've got about a minute. Tell us about the program again and the website and how people can contact you.
Yeah, the Hockey Source is basically the ultimate resource for minor hockey, and we talk about every role in a 360-degree perspective. We have 15 subject matter experts like Dr. Halliwell, Jamie McDonald on management administration. We have people on nutrition, Dr. Mike Houston, Dr. Halliwell for psychology. And the fun part about it is you can get it online at www.thehockeysource.tv, and Tuesdays at 6:30 is the show.
Well, and that's on the NHL Network as well. Kevin Yoon and Dr. Wayne Halliwell. Gentlemen, nice work on the program and on the website. And I tell you what, it's a great source for kids and older kids for hockey all season. Thanks for joining us, Kevin. Wayne, a pleasure to talk to you both.
Thanks, Roger. Bye-bye.
Thank you, gentlemen. Yes, sir, The Hockey Source, 6:30 Tuesdays on the NHL Network and thehockeysource.tv. And if you're a parent, minor hockey, you cannot emphasize enough. A lot of negative publicity surrounding minor hockey. I tell you what, you're the kind of person, if you can develop your skills in minor hockey and pay the price and do it, it is a terrific background for any kid. And I couldn't support the work those guys are doing more, that's for sure.